Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August 19th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, before we begin with this episode, first things first, rest in peace to a UT legend, and that's Cedric Benson. Had a very successful career in the NFL as well. He passed away after getting into a motorcycle accident. So I wanted to, before I even got into football, just say, you know, rest in peace. My thoughts are with his family. I enjoyed watching him, especially in college, but in the NFL, he was really great to watch as well. Had a nice career with the Bengals and with the Bears. So again, rest in peace to Cedric Benson. Now, also, before we get into the games, I also wanted to say Derwin James, the safety for the San Diego Chargers, I reference him a lot just because of how great he was as a rookie last season. Well, he suffered a metatarsal injury that's going to keep him out till at the earliest is looking like it'll be the postseason. So that's a huge loss for the Chargers. A metatarsal is the area, not the toe, but kind of, I guess what you would say is more so the where the palm of your hand would be, but to your foot. So he basically suffered a broken foot. And Pro Football Doc, a guy that I always recommend to follow if you haven't already, said that there must be something a little bit more severe to this specific injury because of the timetable for his return. So basically, with his expert, he's saying that with this injury, he should be able to return earlier, but he senses there must be something if they're thinking it'll delay him this much. So again, Derwin James, the star safety for the San Diego Chargers, is going to be out till likely the postseason. And the Chargers are a team that's always suffered these early injuries that are terrible. Jason Verrett for years was getting hurt before the season even began. Keenan Allen week one against the Kansas City Chiefs suffered that horrible ACL injury. Hunter Henry suffered that ACL injury. The Chargers are just, I don't know if it's the training or if it's literally just horrible luck, but they just suffer a bunch of injuries before the season can even begin. So that was just some of the news that I wanted to discuss before we even got into some of the games. But now I guess we have to start off with Kyler Murray, the first overall pick. What a better way to start it. The Cardinals ended up losing this game to the Oakland Raiders by a score of 33-26. But, you know, the scores don't really matter too much. What everyone wants to see is, how did Kyler Murray do? Now, this game was a few days ago, so it almost feels like it was last week, but Kyler Murray had a pretty bad performance, and it had a lot of people talking. There was plenty of memes on Twitter. He ended up finishing the game 3-for-8 with 12 yards passing. He also was sacked for a safety. So, man, that's pretty bad of a performance. If you watched him, the offensive line play wasn't great. That was the same offensive line Josh Rosen had to play behind. But this offense, I'm genuinely starting to get concerned as to whether it'll be able to translate to the NFL. This Cliff Kingsbury college-style offense, there's a lot of movement going on, a lot of lateral movement, but nothing is happening downfield. And it's very vanilla, very Adam Gase-like with what we saw with the Dolphins. So I'm just hoping to see that maybe they're saving these plays for the regular season. Now, I will say this isn't a team that's like loaded with talent at the receiver position. You know, all respect to Larry Fitzgerald, but he is definitely not in his prime anymore. So I guess there could be the argument that that's why the receivers aren't getting open and it all plays a part. But just, I don't know, I'm really starting to question this offense. I know I said in the last episode that David Johnson was very high on my boards. Well, now I'm not entirely convinced the same way. You know, this offense just looks pretty bad, and I imagine they're still going to be playing from behind an awful lot if the defense is bad. So, I don't know. I'm sure he'll still have a high volume, a lot of dump-offs, but I'm just not entirely sure. I just imagine defenses are going to plan strictly for a lot of David Johnson. So again, I'm not really buying into anybody on this Cardinals offense. Now, we go to the other side of the ball, and one guy in particular that I'm looking at is Josh Jacobs, the rookie out of Alabama. He had a nice little game. He had 4 carries for 21 yards rushing. He's probably going to be the lead back, and I don't really think there's any competition going up against him, minus DeAndre Washington, who's probably going to have, I guess, more of a role in the receiving game. But Josh Jacobs looks really nice, and every year there's rookie running backs that end up towards the top of fantasy football. You know, we've seen it with Kareem Hunt, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. All these guys just went off their rookie season. Josh Jacobs right now is one of the guys that is on my radar to have one of those kind of seasons. I don't think there's any sort of competition. I think his legs look fresh. I think the offensive line here is pretty decent. So Josh Jacobs, keep that name in mind. Someone to look at in fantasy. And then another note for the Oakland Raiders, Derek Carr, he threw two passes, but man, the backups came up in this game and they look great. Mike Glennon, 11 for 14, 175 yards, two touchdowns. And then Nathan Peterman, 8 for 8, 41 yards. A nice little solid game from the backup quarterbacks over there in Oakland. Gonna make a pretty upbeat episode of Hard Knocks. So I'm looking forward to that. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the game between the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. The Giants ended up winning it 32-13. Major notes is, of course, the rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones. Everyone regarded him as one of the top rookies last week in terms of his performance. Well, this week, if you were just looking at his stat line, minus the fumbles, it would have been another just terrific performance from Daniel Jones. Just a very sound quarterback. He just looks so composed. 11 for 14, 161 yards, and a touchdown. Now, Eli Manning, you know, a limited sample size, but 4 for 4 for 42 yards and a touchdown. But to go back to Daniel Jones, it's so difficult for me to gauge what his ceiling is just because he looks so mature in the pocket. He looks so sure of what he's doing. I will say the two fumbles was Tannehill-esque. I mean, I don't know how you're so insecure with the ball. He was carrying it like it was nothing, and it was really stripped from him so easily, and that happened twice in this game. So if he could get that under control, then I'm sure he has a high ceiling, and I really can't gauge, because it's not like he's doing anything extraordinary. He's just making the right play every single time, and that's exactly what guys like Tom Brady does, and you know, that's also what Ryan Tannehill did at times. So it's really hard to gauge, is he a Ryan Tannehill? Is he an Andy Dalton? Or could he be something more like one of those big name guys like Tom Brady? That's the ultimate comparison, and I'm not going to say that, of course, just yet, but he's looking sound. If he could just get the fumbles under control, then I don't know why the Giants would not start him. I mean, I know why, because Eli Manning's done so much for the franchise, yada, 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 but they're going to be banging at the gates to get this guy out and get Daniel Jones in. And it's going to be very hard to argue against it the way he is playing so far. So Daniel Jones, another great game from him. Now, a guy on the other side of the field in this one was Bears running back David Montgomery. Now, he didn't play, and he's a rookie. And that's interesting because he has been so good so far in training camp and in that first preseason game that they determined they don't need to see anything else from him. He's just going to be in bubble wrap until the preseason ends. So David Montgomery, probably, I talked about Josh Jacobs being a really good running back. David Montgomery is probably the only one that could catch up to him in that aspect in terms of talent between the two. I think David Montgomery is kind of Kareem Hunt-esque, just a very talented runner, great at evading tackles, just looks so strong, a combination of strength and elusiveness. The only thing is he looks a little bit undersized. I mean, he looks like a mini Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's a pretty big guy. But yeah, David Montgomery is just looks so great so far. That's a name definitely to keep on your mind in fantasy. I'm not sure if the Bears will be the most productive team, but you know for a fact that defense is going to be good. That means the games are going to be close and the running game is always going to be an aspect when they're playing. All that has to be in mind when you're looking at fantasy. David Montgomery definitely should be high on your boards. Now, we move on to the game between the Buffalo Bills and the Carolina Panthers. Bills got the dub 27-14. Josh Allen, second-year quarterback, is looking smooth. My comparison for him last year was Philip Rivers-esque, and that's another one. I need to chill down with these freaking comparisons. I always give them the highest of the highest possibility. Well, Josh Allen, again, looked very smooth in this game, very silky, 9 for 11, 102 yards. And frankly, as someone who's watching the Dolphins and is hoping the Dolphins could progress, it's pretty scary seeing how far Josh Allen's come along. And same thing goes for Sam Darnold, who I'll talk about in a bit. I really think they have a kind of a bit of a head start when it comes to these franchise quarterbacks. I think both of them have potential to be that guy. I know people are mocking Josh Allen because his accuracy issues and last year wasn't the best, but he was in a very bad situation. He was running for his life constantly, and he was still managing to keep them in game. So that was really impressive. Another guy for the Bills that has to be mentioned is the former rugby player from the UK, Christian Wade. Another big game from him. He had one catch for 48 yards. Last week, of course, he had that huge run for a touchdown. It's hard not to be a fan of this guy, just transitioning over from rugby, making a name for himself in the NFL, something that he said that he had always been interested in. So a lot of people are rooting for this guy. Hopefully he can make the team. We saw before with the 49ers and Jarryd Hayne, a lot of people were in love with that guy. So hopefully Christian Wade can make a name for himself and be an effective NFL player. Now, the other side of the ball for the Carolina Panthers, the main talk is just their backup quarterback problems are pretty significant. The main thing we're looking at here is the rookie Will Greer, who a lot of people had high hopes for, just continues to look really inefficient, and he's really doesn't appear to be translating well at all. He finished this game 10 for 19, 75 yards, and he did have a pick. Now we move on to the game between the New York Jets and the Falcons. The Jets got the dub 22-10. One thing you'll notice is that when really good starters play in the preseason, it looks way too easy for them, and that's how it looked for Matt Ryan. 10 for 14, 118 yards. He connected with Calvin Ridley on a nice little catch. Ridley finished the game with 28 yards receiving. Other notes that must be mentioned in this game, Qadree Ollison, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, 9 carries for 44 yards. He's a rookie that a lot of people have on their board just because Devontae Freeman's been hurt a lot. You never know who's going to need to step up for this team, especially with the new vacancy of Tevin Coleman. I don't know if Ito Smith is someone the Falcons truly really believe in that much. Now, the other side of the ball, the New York Jets. Now, man, this Jets offense really looks pretty good with Sam Darnold at the helm. I mean, when the backups come in, it gets really stagnant the same way I said last week. But with Sam Darnold is there, it just looks so fluid. Darnold finished the game 5 for 7, 46 yards passing. Again, that's not a huge sample to really gauge from. He had a nice little throw on the run, and he had another one where he hit his receiver on a back shoulder throw. It really looks like he's playing almost like backyard football right now. Like, he's really confident. He's making these nice throws without setting his feet, but it's not like a horrible decision. We'll need to see how it plays out in the regular season. But as of right now, Sam Darnold is progressing very nicely. He's looking really crisp. I would put him just over Josh Allen. And then, of course, behind, what's that guy's name? Tom Brady in the AFC East. So those are my notes for that game. We move on to the next one between the Redskins and the Bengals. The Bengals got the dub 23-13. The highlight was this monster 3-yard run where Joe Mixon dribbled Josh Norman's head to the ground with a stiff arm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a nice little run. It didn't really mean anything, but it was cool to watch Josh Norman get stiff-armed. And then Dwayne Haskins, one of the main things we're looking at, 7 for 14, 114 yards, and a touchdown. His touchdown, though, was very nice. He stood in the pocket, got rocked the second he threw it, but he connected on a very long touchdown pass. So Dwayne Haskins, when I'm looking at him, he makes these throws so effortlessly, and he's like, his release is very quick. His reads are pretty nice. He missed on several of the throws, but there was no throw in this game. He had one last week that was really bad, but there was no throw in my mind in this game where it looked like he made this horrendous decision. It looked like he was making the right play, but his accuracy was just off. And when I say that his arm strength is just limitless and just so effortless too, that once he connects on this accuracy, those yards are going to go up significantly. So I wouldn't be too worried right now about the completion percentage. Dwayne Haskins is really impressing me. He jumps up on my leaderboard above what Kyler Murray has shown so far in preseason. So right now I have the quarterbacks ranked Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins right underneath, and then I have Kyler Murray as of right now. Will continue as more of these rookies get playing time. And that's not indicative of what I think their career is going to be or how I think this season's playing out. Just strictly based on what I've seen in the preseason, those have to be the rankings, at least to me. So another guy for the Redskins who had a pretty nice performance was Adrian Peterson. 4 carries for 31 yards. Nice little game from him. I'm not entirely convinced, you know, age is a huge factor, especially at the running back position. What he is doing and what he did last year was impressive. I don't know if I would buy into it on fantasy. I don't think he'll last a whole season. I think Darius Geis is way more fresh despite the new injury news that has been released with him with his hamstring, I believe. I am not buying into Adrian Peterson. I do hope he does well because he's a legend in this league. But from a fantasy perspective, I'm very weary of buying into that situation. So we move on to the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The story in my mind for this game was the running backs. The running backs, James Conner, Jalen Samuels for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both of these guys, I think, are going to be very productive, and they're going to have significant roles. Of course, James Conner was the Le'Veon Bell role when Le'Veon Bell didn't play, so James Conner had this huge volume. I'm not really expecting him to have the same amount of volume just because I think Jalen Samuels, he was somebody who played tight end in college and also was listed as a tight end in last season, so people in fantasy were kind of plugging him in certain leagues as their tight end. I think Jalen Samuels, when it comes to receiving, is just really, really smooth. He is just silky with it. So I do think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to incorporate Jalen Samuels more as the receiving running back. He had a nice little game in this one, 4 carries for 26 yards. James Conner had 6 carries for 28. So like I said, James Conner still obviously the number one, but I would expect Jalen Samuels to kind of pick away at some of that volume that made him so much of a threat in fantasy. Now we go to the other side of the ball, and there was a guy who was a huge threat in fantasy because of the volume that was inherited after Kareem Hunt was cut by the team, and that was Damian Williams. Now, Damian Williams didn't have anything to show on the stat line for this game. When he was with the Dolphins, though, there was nothing to really ever complain about with him. He just never really was the volume back. Anytime he would get it, his role was a third down back, but he was productive. He did everything pretty well. There was nothing to really knock on him. He just wasn't this superstar, but, you know, he played well. Now, he stepped in for the Chiefs last season, looked amazing. All that volume from Kareem Hunt not being there, from Spencer Ware not really stepping up, Damian Williams really made the most of it, look like an RB1 if we're talking fantasy perspective. But now in comes this rookie, Darwin Thompson. And a lot of people are very big on this guy, and they are making a push for him to be the starting running back. Well, he had 4 carries for 30 yards, looked very explosive, kind of Tariq Cohen-esque if I had to make a comparison. Maybe not as elusive, but he is a small guy, very shifty, very quick. Now, if you're thinking fantasy, if it's between him and Damian Williams, obviously you have to go Damian Williams first because it's going to be his role to lose. So it really comes down to, are you a believer in Williams or are you not? Because if he's not, and if they don't see him as a star, and this guy is flashing these big plays, then there's no doubt that Thompson's going to take over the role. Now, I said that he's a smaller back, so I don't think that Thompson's going to be a workhorse back this season. I think even if Williams somehow loses it or is injured, there will be some carry split between him and whoever is the third running back. But keep an eye on him. Definitely a good guy to have if you're betting a lot on Damian Williams in fantasy. Now, the last game that's going to be discussed is the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles got the dub 24-10. The main thing I want to discuss in this game was rookie running back Miles Sanders, who had a pretty nice game. He had 5 carries for 31 yards. Now, the Eagles struggled for so many years to try to find a running back. Jay Ajayi wasn't it. Josh Adams was okay at times. So now they got Jordan Howard and they got Miles Sanders. I'm expecting at the beginning of the season a split carry between the two. I think Miles Sanders runs away with this role. I think he's the more effective of the two back. I will say that he benefited from some good blocking. He kind of is a very patient runner, kind of Joe Mixon-esque, Le'Veon Bell-esque. He always hits this little pro hop to begin and then kind of look around for the hole. But then once he hits it, if it's there, he's going to pick up some yards. So I do think Miles Sanders takes over this starting job. Again, he's a rookie second round pick. I've never really been a believer in Jordan Howard, no matter what he's done statistically. I just think he's more of a bulldozing kind of back, and the NFL is trending more away from those kind of running backs. And I just think that Miles Sanders' shiftiness and elusiveness is going to get him this starting role at some point. So keep an eye on that in fantasy as well. So far you have David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders there too, and the Cowboys running back Tony Pollard. Now, I said that was going to be the last game I cover, but you know what? Let's go and discuss this Dallas Cowboys game against the Los Angeles Rams. The Cowboys got the dub in this one 14-10. Now, I want to discuss it because Tony Pollard is such a key component. If Zeke sits out, Tony Pollard is RB1 status in my mind. Sure, he's a rookie, but his ability to run inside has already proven so far to be really good. And I think that was Zeke's main issue. I know people were panicking, if you remember back to early on in Zeke's career, because he wasn't really so effective. But it's because he was trying to run very patiently, kind of like how I said Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon run. He was kind of trying to bounce around and look for the hole. But once he realized that if I just hit this hole hard, you know, if I trust that the Cowboys linemen, who are the best in the league, are going to leave that hole for me there, and I don't hesitate and I hit it, then I'm guaranteed to get at least 3-4 yards every single time, and then I'm bound to break one big. It seems like Tony Pollard already realizes that. He had 5 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, and was just having tackles bounce off of him all game long. So this is a guy, like I said, keep an eye on the Zeke thing. Jerry Jones said after the game, he said, "Zeke who?" And he said that jokingly, but I don't know if that's really a joke, because this guy is still young. He's not going to demand as much money. You're going to be able to use that money on Dak. You're going to be able to use it on Amari Cooper. I think this is a real threat to Ezekiel Elliott. So if indeed Zeke sits out, which I'm not entirely sure he will, I think the Melvin Gordon situation of him sitting out is more likely, then Tony Pollard is one of the top running backs in the league just based off sheer volume and the talent of the Dallas offensive line. Now, another guy was Dak Prescott, who had a pretty nice performance, 5 for 5, 64 yards. He did have a throw to Michael Gallup, a 31-yard pass, and it has a lot of people debating whether it was a good pass or not. He kind of threw it up for grabs. It was a one-on-one situation. Some people think it was underthrown, but some people think that since the defender had his back turned, this was the right way to throw it. I'm not entirely sure. I do think it was kind of underthrown. I don't know if that was a good throw, but I'm not someone who's bashing Dak on getting paid. I don't think he deserves the $40 million. I think that's ludicrous, just because I don't think any other quarterback is going to get that or is getting that. So by those standards, I don't think that he deserves it necessarily. But I think what he has proven so far, still a very young quarterback, didn't really have a lot of weapons till they acquired Amari Cooper. And Dez Bryant wasn't really Dez Bryant. I do think that Dak Prescott has accomplished a lot more. And I think when you look at franchise quarterbacks, fans are very picky when they've had a franchise quarterback. Tony Romo was great for years. So now the Cowboys think that they can be picky and just get another Tony Romo. They don't understand how lucky they were to get someone of Romo's caliber. That doesn't just happen. Look at the Browns, who struggled in quarterback purgatory for years. So you don't want to end up there. And I think they're really taking for granted what Dak has been able to do early on. Maybe he's not the most amazing quarterback. He's not Russell Wilson already. He's not, Matt Ryan, or he's not some of these other quarterbacks. But you know what? He has been pretty solid. He's on a good trajectory, and I'd be willing to bet on him as of now. Now, the last guy I want to discuss is Michael Gallup. He's somebody that I think is going to benefit a lot from Amari Cooper getting doubled. I think Amari Cooper was able to kind of prove to everybody that, hey, I'm still talented. I was just with the Raiders and they sucked. I'm still pretty good. So Michael Gallup has been very underrated. I think he's a very solid number two receiver. I think in fantasy this year, that's somebody that you need to keep your eye on. Especially in PPR leagues, I think he's someone who could see a big volume in the intermediate passing game as well. So before we completely end the episode, the last thing I want to discuss is Antonio Brown and the helmet situation that took yet another turn in a story that seems to never end. Well, the NFL changed its mind and they denied this kind of loophole that they found him. If you're not familiar, Antonio Brown wants to wear his old helmet that he's worn his entire career. The NFL said no, because it cannot be a helmet that's not approved. And in order to be approved, it can't be older than 10 years old. So by that standard, Brown's helmet didn't meet the demands. So Brown was fed up and said he's willing to retire. The NFL said, "We won't pay you then." Brown said, "Okay, you know what? I'll play." And then the NFL said, "Okay, well, you know what? We'll let you reuse the helmet if you're able to find one that is under 10 years old and you get it approved with us." So Antonio Brown was like, "Great, I'll do it." You know, he scanned around, asked people on Twitter, and guess what? He was able to find a helmet that was under 10 years old. Well, then the NFL, to make things even more dramatic, said, "Actually, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore." And now Brown's like, "Ugh," and now Brown's fed up. So I can't entirely knock the NFL, because the idea of having this standard in place is a good thing. I mean, it's coming from the right state of mind, that they want to protect their players. They don't want them using old equipment. Very easy to get behind. But why would you tell them, "Hey, yeah, go find one under 10 years," and then say, "Actually, we change our mind"? Why are you providing that ammo to Antonio Brown? So Antonio Brown was absent from practice. GM Mike Mayock said that he has to decide if he's all in or if he's out completely. There's no in-between anymore. He needs to decide. So I do think Antonio Brown will show up. I do think Antonio Brown, in his heart, you know, is a good person. I just think he has this kind of egotistical trait, kind of Kanye West-esque in that aspect. And he kind of wants to make a statement. And I think he just needs to kind of just play. I think he's a good person. The way he interacts with kids and fans is amazing. But I just think that he has this kind of complex where he doesn't like authority. And I think at this point, it's very detrimental to his image. He's somebody who could be liked by so many in the league. Like I said, he's such a happy person, so good with fans, such a good player on the field. I don't know why he's choosing to go this direction and try to defy authority on something over a helmet. So those are just my thoughts on this Antonio Brown helmet situation. Now, his stuff with the Steelers was something different entirely. I think what he was doing to Ben Roethlisberger and all that stuff was disrespectful. Him wanting to get paid, I can get behind that, but the way he handled it, I cannot. Now, this helmet situation, it just doesn't make sense. It's just ridiculous from top to bottom. So that's how I'm gonna end this episode, guys. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is @ShadySteven. Like I said, I have something interesting coming up. So if you haven't followed me or the Twitter for @ViaTheSource, go follow them, please. It would mean a lot. And also subscribe to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify or on Apple Podcast. It would mean a lot. And if you have any questions, I really want to answer some questions for you guys on the podcast. So please send them on Twitter. I'll definitely cover them first thing on the next episode. As always, guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via the Source.